So I'm going to start off with a quiz. Are you ready, young people? I'm going to mix up some stories, and I want you to put them in order. What is first? What is second? What is third? Are you ready? All right. I'm going to mix up the stories. The angel appears to Mary. Everyone just keep it in your mind. I'm going to give three stories, and then I want you to tell me which comes first, which comes second, which comes third. Okay. The angel appears to Mary. The angels guide the wise men, and the shepherds hear the angels sing over Bethlehem. The angel appears to Mary. The angel guides the wise men, and the angels sing to the shepherds. So who can tell me which one should be first? You think it's the angels sing to? Oh, angels visit Mary. Does everyone agree? Is that the first one? All right. Anyone think differently? All right. You are right. The first one is the angels visit to Mary. Now, we had two more. The angels guide the wise men, and then the shepherds hear the angels sing. Which one would be next? Yes. The angels sing to the shepherds. Everyone think that's right? All right, you are right. So the angels visit Mary first. Secondly, the angels sing to the shepherds. And thirdly, what would be the third one? The wise men. Now I'm going to give you another story. You tell me where it fits. The angel visits Zacharias and says that they're going to have a baby called John. Where does that fit in the story? So you put that number one. Would she be right? You are right. These are the stories of Matthew and Luke. How comes I didn't mention Mark and John? Because they're not in the stories of Mark and John. That's the reason why. The stories of the season you will find in the book of Matthew, and you'll find it in the book of Luke. That's where the stories of Christmas can be found. All right. Now, the stories of Christmas are known by us, and we enjoy talking about all the things that happen on this earth. But this morning, I would like to pull that curtain back because there is a lot happening in heavenly places. Now, we know the stories on the earth pretty well, but we don't often think about what was happening in heavenly places. First of all, we find that the Godhead was very much involved. It mentions in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. But not only God the Father, we're told in Matthew 1:21, the Holy Spirit was involved. While he, Joseph, thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, it says, appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. So God the Father was involved with the birth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit was involved with the birth of Jesus. And Jesus in heavenly places, he was very much involved. Behold, the virgin shall bring forth a child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. So when we look at the stories of the Christmas story, we find that not only do we have stories of things happening on this earth, the wise men and the story of Mary, they're going to Bethlehem, the shepherds, and all of those stories, we find that behind the scenes, you have the members of the Godhead involved. But I want to focus on the visit of angels today. When you look at these stories, there are a lot of angel stories. that you will find. Can you imagine how excited they were in heavenly places to think, oh, Jesus, the divine, is going to come and become a baby. And we are told that we can have a part. They must have been really excited. What can I do? What can I volunteer for? Luke chapter 2 says, suddenly there was a multitude of angels in heavenly places, and they were singing praise to God. Glory to God in the highest. Where is God in the highest? He's in heaven, and on earth, what? Peace and goodwill toward men. So the coming of Jesus was to make things very happy in heaven and very happy on this earth. The birth of Jesus was to bring glory to God, who dwells in heavenly places, and on earth bring peace and goodwill between people and between man and God and God and man. Today we'll take a look at the experience of angels around the Christmas story. And we want to talk about the preparation before the birth. We want to talk about their involvement at the time when Jesus was born. And then we want to talk about, lastly, the response of people who were involved with the angel story and the birth of Jesus. So the very first angel, and it was only one, his name was Gabriel. The very first angel story in the gospel of the Christmas song is found in Luke chapter 1. And that's the story, the angel was sent to Zacharias. And the angel, and this is Luke 1:19. The angel answered and said him, Zacharias, I am, what was his name? Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you to bring these glad tidings. The first angel story is about Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. You think he's a pretty important angel? Yes, he is. And what was his message? Zacharias, don't be afraid, for your prayer is heard and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. I thought it was very interesting when you listen to that, that the story focus of the angel starting off was, Zacharias, I want to bring you personally some happiness. I want you to know, even though you haven't had a son in the past, you are going to have a son in your old age. And I thought that was interesting that the angel would give him happy news, started right off. It says it'll bring you joy and gladness, and many people will be happy. Now, then he says, now this son is going to have a special purpose. He's going to have a special ministry to prepare for the Messiah that is coming. And it says, he will also go before him, your son John, in the spirit and power of Elijah. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of just, and then to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So the first story we have about the angels visiting, it was one lone angel, and his name was Gabriel. He came to see Zacharias, gave him some good news, and said that his son was going to be special. Now, it says about 6 months later, that same angel Gabriel was sent to visit who? Mary. And it says in the sixth month, the angel came. This is Luke chapter 1, 26 to 28. The angel Gabriel came to a city of Galilee, and the name of that city was Nazareth. That's where Mary was. And she was betrothed or engaged to Joseph. And having come in, the angel said, Mary, rejoice, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. So the angel said three things. Number one, you are highly favored. Number two, the Lord's with you. And number three, blessed are you among women. Think of what the angel was saying to Mary. You're highly favored of God. Is that a good thing? It's good to be highly favored of God. Yes. You are chosen. You're chosen to carry the birth, raised to adulthood, the Messiah. God trusts you that you will be a good mother. You can be trusted with Messiah to the world. The Lord is with you. The Lord is comfortable keeping company with you. Now, that's a good question for all of us to ask. Would the Lord be comfortable with my activities through the day? Would he feel comfortable sitting next to me in every place that I go? The Lord is comfortable keeping company with you, and those you enjoy, he enjoys. Your lifestyle does not drive God away and doesn't drive me away. The Lord is with you. What a beautiful thought. Finally, blessed are you among women. She was favored with the pregnancy of the Messiah. Mary was to be singled out to receive the joy of raising the Messiah. However, even though that sounds good, it was not all pleasant. Possibly when her husband-to-be finds out about it, how will he think if she starts having a bump in the middle? And he says, where did you get that bump from? And she says, I'm pregnant. Now that is a miracle, right? So it's possible she could lose her husband to be, and when he found out. Also, in the future, as she raises Jesus, there's going to be criticism from some religious leaders that they're not tough enough on Jesus, some criticism from the brothers. Also, someday, she would stand at the foot of her son being crucified. So even though she was favored and blessed, there were going to be some painful things in her journey. So mothers, would you have called being chosen as highly favored, chosen of God, a blessing? It was a choice of extreme responsibility, heart-tearing sorrow, and joyful moments. I love what Mary says, and young people, this is one thing you can say every day. After Mary heard what the angel had told her, she said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word," and the angel depart. Did she say, I'm willing to do whatever you'd like me to do? She did. And that was an awesome moment. So not only did the single angel Gabriel visit Zacharias, then the angel of 6 months later visits with Mary. Those are beautiful stories. There's one more story about the angels in the time before Jesus was birth, and that's the story of Joseph, the title of my sermon. In Matthew 1, that Aaron read for us, while he, Joseph, thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, here we are with Gabriel again, appeared to him in a dream. So Joseph is the other figure, stories that took place with angels before the birth of Jesus. Joseph, when he found out that his wife-to-be was going to have a baby, and it wasn't from him, he was not a pleased camper. And he was wondering what he should do. And why? While he was thinking about this, how am I going to handle this? All my family's upset. My friends are upset. She deserves to be stoned. I need to put her away. What should I do? While he thought about these things, it says the angel of the Lord appeared, and it was Gabriel again. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived of her is the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a relief to his mind. Because he loved Jesus and he believed Jesus was loved God, and he believed that God was telling him and giving him instructions, he believed that and accepted that. In Matthew 24:1-24, it says, and Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did what the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took to him his wife. Do you imagine how good Mary must have felt about that? Wow. Joseph, who was all upset and agitated, what am I going to do? Mary would be anxious. What about her future? She could even be stoned or put away. What was going to happen to her? And then to see Joseph in the doorway coming to visit and said, Mary, God has told me through the angel in a dream exactly what's taking place, and I am willing to marry you now and be responsible with you to raise the Messiah. What an awesome insight. So those are the three main stories about angels being involved, and you can see how many angels are involved so far. Only one, Gabriel. It's the only angel. Were there other angels ready to get involved? Yes, there were. So Gabriel could report back to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that those who are part of the birth story of Jesus, have been contacted and are now ready for scene number two, the actual arrival of Jesus in Bethlehem. Are angels involved with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem? Yes, they are. Only one angel was involved with the pre-time, but many angels became involved as they looked at the script and say, what's part of scene number two? And some saw there's going to be a choir over Bethlehem. Can't you see them? I'll volunteer. I'm willing to get involved. Can I be part of that choir? They're all wanting to be part of this time. But if all the angels of heaven came, wow, would that ever be a scene? Indication is it wasn't all, but it was a good choir that came. And it started off in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 12. It says, there were shepherds in the same country. There were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, how many angels came? An angel of the Lord. So we think it probably would be Gabriel again. Stood with them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. Then the angel said, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For there is born to you today in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So was Jesus born? Yes. Who announced it? The angels announced it. This angel announced it. And this shall be a sign. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger. So the angel that visits says, hey, I need to let you know there's a great event that has just happened. The Messiah has been born in Bethlehem. Were they excited about it? Yes. And as they were engaged looking at this angel, what happened around them? In Luke chapter 2, it says, suddenly, so all at once, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying and singing, glory to God, where? In the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You think those angels were excited? They were excited to be part of the announcement. Heavenly beings were very engaged in the Christmas story. There were actually two groups and two individuals mentioned in the Gospels around the birth stories. The two groups were led by angels. The two individuals were led by the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at that. The two individuals led by the Holy Spirit in the story of Christmas in Luke chapter 2, the first was Simeon. Simeon. When Mary had the birth of Jesus, she went up to Jerusalem to the temple. And while they were there registering Jesus, Simeon comes in, and he was led by the Holy Spirit. So there are two groups and two individuals in this Christmas story. The two groups were led by angels, and the two individuals were led by the Holy Spirit. So let's look first at all for the Holy Spirit leading individuals. First one is Simeon. In Luke chapter 2, 25 and following, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was a just and devoted, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit, it says, was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Christ. He came to the temple in the Spirit, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen salvation. What was his name? Simeon. All right. Who was the other one that was guided by the Holy Spirit? Her name was Anna. That's in Luke chapter 2, 36, following. And there was Anna, a prophetess. Prophetess shows that she had a gift from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that gives prophecy. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived with her husband for 7 years. And coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. So we find that the angels talked about the birth of Jesus to the shepherds and sang over Bethlehem. We find that the Holy Spirit led two to honor Jesus at the time of his birth. The first was Simeon and the next was Anna. Now, there are two groups in the Christmas story that were led by angels. The two groups led by angels were the shepherds and the wise men from the east. Luke 2:15 says, "And so it was that when the angels, plural, who sang over Bethlehem, had gone away from them to heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste," it says, "and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." And what did they do after they found the babe lying in the manger? They left, and how many people do you think they would tell? Everyone they met. They could tell about the angels singing over Bethlehem and also about the birth of the baby that they saw in the manger. Now, angels was also involved with the wise men. So we have the story of the wise men. Find my spot. The wise men were from the east. And it says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, "When they heard the king," that's the wise men, "when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was." So it is believed by Bible students that the angel, the star that led them was a group of angels. So angels helped prepare for the birth of Jesus. Angels were involved with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And angels protected and guided the family of Jesus after the birth. So we want to take a look at what did angels do, not only in the preparation for the birth of Jesus, not only when it happened to make it known, but how were angels involved afterwards. Matthew chapter 2 gives us a story. In Matthew chapter 2, it says, "When they," the wise men, "had departed," when they found Jesus, "and they gave him three gifts." What was the first one? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yeah. It says, after they gave the gifts, it says, "They departed and went home. Behold, the angel," it says, we're back to one angel, "the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word.' For Herod," what is Herod going to try to do? He's going to try to take the young life of the baby. What did Joseph do when he woke up? It says he took the young child and his mother, and he went where? To Egypt. And then Matthew chapter 2 says, And when they heard that Herod was dead, behold, who do you think appeared to them, told them to go home? An angel, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared. Wow, are angels ever involved with the story of Jesus? An angel appeared to him in a dream. So angels can appear to you in a dream. That's interesting, isn't it? And you would be convicted that it was a message from the Lord. That would be between you and God. Appeared in a dream and said to Joseph, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." It's interesting to look at God's strategies. As you take a look at how the Christmas story unfolded, looking closer at these three chapters around the birth of Jesus, you see the preparation scene, you see the birth scene, and you see the response scene. There are interesting insights into the strategy of God around the birth of Jesus the Savior of the world. Number one, angels announce that Jesus would come as a baby. I'm sure the devil marveled that he could bring Jesus down to this earth as a man, subject to temptations, but as a baby? But God knew that bringing Jesus into the world as a baby, a helpless, dependent, defenseless child, would reveal the character of the devil. And sure enough, what did the devil try to do? He tried to kill the baby Jesus through Herod. What a revelation to the angels. They couldn't believe it in horror. What is Herod doing? Going to try to take the life of Jesus. And it helped settle in their mind even more that we want nothing to do with the devil. We want everything to do with loyalty to God. The second thing the strategy of God reveals, angels are sent to common people like Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, but he was also sent, the angel was also sent to religious leaders. Zacharias was a religious leader, wasn't he? A spiritual leader in the temple. It shows that God wants the message of the birth of Jesus to be known by everybody, little people and big people. It's interesting to note how angels cooperated with the strategy of God. And an interesting one to me has always been the strategy that God had with Joseph. You remember that the angel appeared to Zacharias and said to Zacharias, you're going to have a son. His name is going to be John. He's going to prepare the way for Jesus. Then the angel came 6 months later and appeared to Mary and said, you're going to have a boy. It's going to be Messiah. Were these before the birth of Jesus or after the birth of Jesus? These are all before the birth of Jesus. But what about Joseph? The angel was not sent to Joseph and said, by the way, I want you to know that Mary is going to become pregnant, and there are going to be people saying that you messed up and you're dating, but it's not so. The baby is really of the Holy Spirit. The angel did not go ahead of time to Joseph. God permitted Joseph to have a faith-testing experience. He went into the experience, and it was while he was struggling on what he should do, then God sent the angel. It always marvels that God permits us to have faith-testing experience as he unfolds his will for our lives. Joseph, of course, he met the test, and God honored him. That was part of God's strategy. The angels also cooperated with the strategy of the leading of the wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. Where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him. It's interesting to note that the guiding angels were going to guide the wise men to where? To the place where Jesus was born. But where did he guide the wise men? The angels guided the wise men to Jerusalem. That's not where Jesus was going to be born. It was a detour. They were not sent directly to Bethlehem, but to Jerusalem. And their presence created a big fuss. But it got the attention of the religious leaders and Herod. And the religious leaders testified that the baby would be born in Bethlehem. That was part of God's strategy. And sometimes in your life and my life, when God leads us, he will lead us in detours with an objective. With an objective. And it may not be something you'll recognize, but he has an objective sometimes when he leads us in detours, like he had. He made the religious leaders aware that the baby was going to be born. So God got the attention of the religious leaders in at least three ways from the birth of Jesus. The first one, the angel's visit with Zacharias when he was serving in the temple. And the message that was given by Zacharias and on to the people that prepared the way for the Messiah. The angels also appeared to the shepherds, it says, who told everybody. You can be sure that news got back to the religious leaders as well. And now you have foreign dignitaries being led by the star of angels to see the Messiah. The wise men left Jerusalem, and the star appears and leads them where the family of Jesus were abiding, which was probably in the area of 2 months after his birth. So the religious leaders of the day had no excuse. They became fully aware that from Zacharias, from the shepherd's news, and as from the wise men, that something special was happening in Bethlehem. They had no excuse. They were well aware that something was up, that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. The Bible, however, is silent on their response. Silent. There's no interest expressed. There's no committee set up to investigate it. And no one is sent along with the wise men to check it out. The silence was the first rejection on the part of the religious leaders toward nailing Jesus to the cross. But there's one story that must have given the angels a lot of anxiousness and sorrow. And that was around Herod sending his soldiers to Bethlehem to kill all the babies under 2 years of age. Can you feel with the angels that went and told Joseph in a dream that he needed to get out of town because Herod was going to kill the baby? And when he desired to tell all the mums and dads in Bethlehem, God had to restrain that angel, because in the great controversy, the devil has a right to use those he controls and freedom of choice on their part and to permit that to take place. God loved all the children in Bethlehem, but his hands were tied in the great controversy to allow freedom of choice of Herod and control of the devil. And much sorrow. Can you imagine the pain that must have brought to the angel who said, I would love to be able to tell all the families, just like I told Joseph, but was unable to do so. That would really be a very, very difficult moment, a very sad moment for them as well, as the devil went forward with his plans and killed all those babies in Bethlehem. Angels of God love to participate in the coming of the Messiah the first time, and anticipate being part of it the second time. If we accept Jesus, our death penalty will be cared for. Our lives will be led by angels and the Holy Spirit. And we're told in the psalmist, what do they do around us? They encamp around us and deliver us. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of an angel, but we know if our eyes could be open, we would see that they're around us. And Matthew chapter 18 says each of us has an individual angel. Well, there's one interesting story that's a personal one. I can remember growing up, my mom telling a story that she had with her two sisters when she was a teenager. They were at home, the three girls together, and they were upstairs, and my mother had a hunch she should look out the window. She turned around and looked out the window, and there was an angel standing there. She turned around, told her sisters about it, and when they turned around together, the angel was gone. And it always impressed her that God was calling her to do something special with her life in loving the Lord. And all three girls became faithful followers of Jesus and gave their lives in service to him. It impressed. The angel didn't say anything and looked like a human being, but she knew that it was important and significant that the angel would even appear to her as a teenager. An angel may not appear to you personally, but you can know they're there. And the angels protect and guide you just like they did back in the time of the birth of Jesus. And so this story that we celebrate today about the coming of Jesus is an opportunity for us to cooperate not just know the stories, which are interesting to know, but to see that the curtain is pulled back and heaven is very near at this time as we welcome not just the birth of Jesus, but the life of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus in heavenly places, and his desire to come back. And at that time, the angels will fill the sky and they'll give glory to God. May we, each one of us, give glory to God in this season by our lifestyle, the gifts we give. And remember to give a gift for Jesus to someone that's in need. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for the season that gives us the special focus opportunity to acknowledge the great gift of heaven for us. In our individual hearts, may we say yes to him today. We welcome this babe who grew and became our Messiah, who is the one that went to the cross to take care of our death tickets, who rose from the dead to reign in heavenly places, who's anxious to come back, is waiting for each of us to settle in our minds. So each one of us today, may we respond by saying, yes, like Mary, be it unto me as the handmaid of the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.